The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Wonderful and Worthwhile Wednesday, as we take a look at a snapshot of Jesus in action, what he does, what only he can do. He brings physical, psychological, and social healing to a situation. Jesus is the only one who could do it then, and he's the only one who can do it now. First up, we often invite people, family, friends, and otherwise into our lives for a meal, for fellowship, or just for making connections. Where is Jesus's invitation? Next, even people who claim to be the professionals are all just practicing or guessing when it comes to healing. Jesus actually brings the cure. And finally, a prescription from a doctor is often filled immediately. But what about a prescription from Jesus?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Yeah. Politics, entertainment, and current events. No. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You can reach out to us, 972-445-0770. If you call in on that number, Terrific T will answer the phone. She might even give you a recipe for chocolate chip cookies. I would not count on it, but she might. You never know. You can also text in, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483 for our texters. Now, we do a couple of different things with that. You can either do a prayer request, where you're like going, hey, I need prayer for this. Not a problem. Praise report. Hey, I just want to say thank you for this thing that happened. You can talk, you can ask about a pop question, something you're trying to figure out. Hey, I'm trying to figure this out, and we might be able to help you. Might be able to push it off to another show. Depends on what's going on. That's all subjective. And then we also do trivia. That's what we're going to do right now. Get ready for the trivia. Here you go. How old was Moses when he died? How old was Mo? Hello, Mo. How old was Mo when he died? No trick question there. We're not looking for you to go to the Mount of Transfiguration and go, oh, he was on the mountain. No, just regular stuff. How old was Mo when Mo said bye? Keep in mind, any topic is open for conversation. Why? Because it's not professional radio. I'm positive it's not professional radio. It's just radio. And most of the time, not even that. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. First and foremost, we want to review our most important element of the day, and that is our DNA. Why is DNA important? Because a Christian should know what they're made of no matter what they're going through. Can I say this again as I've said it before? Let me do it real quick. Ready? More news is coming. I know it sounds prophetic, doesn't it? More, even different news today, tomorrow, and the next day, and for the next week, and the next month, and the next year, and the next decade. Da-da-da, that's good. So in lieu of that, we have to have a certain way, and we need to be. Our DNA, Christian DNA, has three elements. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. Number two, never be ashamed. Never be ashamed of the Lord and his words. And A, always be ready to
serve.
Serve. There you go. So it's three simple things. DNA. Let me say something really important. I want to give a big crying send off to my good friend for 7.5 years, Lefty. Lefty has today. Oh. I know. I'm so sad. Lefty has actually left the place of honor that's been with me for the last 7.5 years doing radio. Lefty was my one-eared headset, my headset that I would listen to. Yesterday, towards the end of the show, the circuitry in the very complex $19.95 multiple years ago headset decided it could no longer endure, and we had to put it to rest today. So now I have a much more expensive but really on sale from Amazon, so got it for a smoking deal headset. But it has two ears, so one of the ears is behind my head. And I haven't given this one a name yet. It's got like one ear, but it's like, I don't know. Yeah. But then we're going to say goodbye to Lefty. Bye, Lefty. Bye. All right. There you go. All right, we got a snapshot of Jesus. I am going to do this one thing. I know a lot of people don't want me to do it. I'm going to do it anyway, because when have I ever done things that people wanted me to do? Not often, right? I'm going to give you the absolute best 60-second synopsis to yesterday's experience that you have never heard before from anywhere, from anybody, in regards to everybody in the debate. You've never heard this before. So getting ready? Okay. First, let me give you the scripture that goes with everything. If you've never read the New English Translation, which is called the NET Bible, here's what it says in Psalm 62, verse 9. Men are nothing but a mere breath. Human beings are unreliable. When they are weighed in on the scales, all of them together are lighter than air. Okay, that's how we're starting. So I guess you know where I'm going from there, especially the line, human beings are unreliable. It's like, you. I know a lot of you are absolutely fantastic, wonderful people, but there's a lot of unreliability in sinful human beings. That would be everybody on the planet. First, let me make these five very quick observations. If you disagree, you're entitled. I bless you in that. I reward you in that, but you're going to have your own take on it. Number one, whatever happened last night didn't change anything. There's nothing. There's not one thing that's different. And then the irony is none of this surprises God. You've got, what, 5 weeks to an election? Isaiah 46:10 says it's straightforward. God knows the end from the beginning. None of this is catching God by surprise, just you and I. Number two, if you were a Democratic Biden fan, you still are. If you were a Republican Trump fan, you still are. And nothing changed. There was no difference. Number three, who was the real winner from last night? Fox News ad revenues. Fox News ad revenues, more ad revenues than they've ever received before. It's like, who won? The media won. Of course the media won. Who did you think was going to win? And I would say there was only one significant loser in the process. I'm not going to go into it too far, but I think the big loser of the night was probably Chris Wallace, just because he proved he wasn't his dad. So, ouch, Dave. Yeah, I know, but it was like, it was just, we watched, I think we watched 10 minutes. Then we turned on a Simpsons. Then we went from a Simpsons. What did we watch after that? Oh, we watched the end of Warehouse, because we've been watching that for a while, Warehouse 13. And then we watched, I think we watched like something with Sarah Connor Chronicles, you know, because we've watched that for, you know, we've been into that for years. Okay, so that's my synopsis. You can like it or dislike it. That's okay. I don't mind. That's just my take. Here we go. Let me start off in Mark. We covered everything, right? Mark chapter 5. Here's what it says. When Jesus, again, had crossed over by the boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hand on her so she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him, and a large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. Wow. All right, let's just talk about this. There's a synagogue ruler. He comes before Jesus. He humbles himself, gets on his knees, falls before Jesus' feet. He's got a situation that's a disaster. It's a horrible thing. And his reasoning in the process was, this thing is horrible. It has to do with my family. It's a terrible thing regarding my own children. I'm not sure what to do. I know what I'll do. I'll invite Jesus into the situation. You see how smart that is? It's like, this is a disaster. Wait, I'll invite Jesus into this situation. Now, one thing that I think is noteworthy, and we're going to go into this, is this woman who had this issue of blood, for those that didn't make this connection, it's a very cool connection. She is, in fact, a woman who has an issue of blood for 12 years. That's number one. And number two, this girl that is sick, Jairus' daughter, she is 12 years old. So there might be something there. There's no way to really identify that in Scripture. Some people have made really big, long statements about it. It's like, I don't know. Well, she was having problems for 12 years. The kid was 12 years old. Might be something connected. Tough to say. But here's the one thing that's for sure. In the situation for this lady who was suffering a great deal, her situation went from bad to worse. All I'm going to ask you is this simple thing. Have you ever been in a situation that went from bad to worse? Have you ever gone through a situation, a circumstance, a relationship, a job situation, a financial situation, any kind of situation where it just went from bad to worse, and you watched it and went, wow, that went from a 6 to a 9 the wrong direction pretty fast. And it's not that people don't want to help, and it's not that professionals aren't fantastic people, and it's not that some of them really have a great heart to serve. No, nobody is disputing that. Nobody's even saying that. In this case, it didn't matter how much professional help this woman was going to get. It wasn't going to be enough, and there was only one way that she was going to get to where she was trying to get to, and that was through God. And instead of trying to make this, split this up and try and make this something it wasn't, this was a situation that was beyond her situation, beyond her help, that she could not redeem in her own financial possession. She could not get enough professional people to help. She ran out of all the other options. All she had now was a desperate attempt to reach out to God, which oftentimes is right where God brings us so that we actually reach out to God. See, then we do it instead of talking about it. Well, she did it. When we come back, we're going to cover that. Jesus did something here that nobody talks about. I'm going to really kind of cover into that. By the way, the answer for how old Mo was, any ideas at all? Any ideas? Rough guess? Is he a shot?
I want to say, I think it was what, 120?
Yes, that is correct. You are what? Are you on fantastic pills today? That was absolutely stellar. Good job. Good job. No, you're supposed to give yourself a clap.
I think I just deleted.
All right, folks, we're going to take our break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's HeMustIncrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
John 7:24, stop judging by mere appearance and make a right judgment. That's all good. For 1 Corinthians 6:2, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? You can't say Christians can't judge. They're commanded to. Here it is right here. Ready? Here's the bowling ball knocking down the pins. Every day as Christians, we have to judge what is appropriate, proper, healthy, and useful. Also, what people we believe we should hang out with, trust, believe in, or let influence, we have to judge that on a regular basis. When you choose your church, you're using your judgment abilities.
Bazinga.
I love that. Because listen, when you're choosing your church, you have to decide to pick one over another. Oh, here's the key. You're going to hate me. Ready? Here it is. If we have no ability to judge, we can't vote. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Who was that masked man? That's all I want to know. All righty. So let's see. We've already covered Lefty. That was the loss of my headset. We've covered the debate. Okay, got that done. We did a trivia question, which we're getting ready to do another one, which I want to say somebody here in the studio, not myself, got the correct answer. Yay! Which she was supposed to play that sound after she got it right, but she played.
Yeah, I kind of deleted it, but you know, we got it back on.
I kind of deleted it. It disappeared. Let's get the next trivia question. Here you go. The next, by the way, to text in 214-210-8483 is the text. 972-445-0770 is the call-in number. By the way, I can say that faster. Ready? 972-445-0770. There, see how fast you can do that? That's pretty fast. Not yet. Hold on, you gotta wait. All right, the ark that Noah built. Okay, now this is really gonna challenge a few people because I'm doing this on purpose. So don't get mad at me. This is a little bit of fun. The ark that Noah built was 30 cubits by 50 cubits. By how many cubits? It was 30 cubits high, 50 cubits wide. How many cubits long? And for those that don't know what a cubit is, it's 18 inches. But I'm just kind of helping you there. There you go. If you know that answer, either call in. That's the old King James numbering system. That's why I did that, folks, just so you can know. Don't forget our website, HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, excellent. All right, so, and a lot of people know, I'm not trying to be, you know, sneaky. It's just a little sneaky. See, it's not behind here. It's not behind here. I want to get into this, though. This teaching is really cool. So if you're gonna answer that question, how many cubits long was the ark? You can probably extrapolate by going backwards, but I can't tell you that answer either because then I'm giving you the answer. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is I want to get into this teaching because this one little teaching is something that somebody else taught. I didn't make this up. I didn't invent this. I want people to go, oh, that's really brilliant exegetical thinking. No, it's not. Many years ago, and I just think it's one of the coolest ways to understand it. So you have this guy. His name is Jairus. He has a daughter, 12 years old. She's having a pretty bad time. She's dying. And then you have this woman who has an issue of blood. She's spent all her money trying to get better. She can't get any better, both at the 12-year range as to what's going on in their lives, right? And this is when the woman who's like kind of getting desperate, so now she reaches out to touch Jesus. All right, now keep in mind, the question is how many cubits long? How many cubits long was the ark? So you had 30 high. Let me make sure I got that right. 30 high, 50 wide. How many long? How many long? Okay. All right. So here's what verse 27 of Mark 5 says. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him and the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. When the woman, knowing what she had done and what had happened to her, came, she fell at his feet, trembling with fear, and told him the whole truth. Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. What a story. So as Jesus is processing with Jairus and his daughter, this woman who has got this issue of blood is thinking, I'm not getting any better. Nothing is going good. This is like, you know, it's just, you know, it's getting, you know, bad to worse scenario. And that's exactly what that was. And she goes, if I can just touch this guy, if I can touch him, if I can touch the Messiah, this could all change. Now, I wish that most of us would have that thinking and faith. If I could just touch Jesus, everything would be different. It's like, yeah, that's actually much more true than we think. And I'm not touching him. I'm not talking about touching him in the physical realms now. But if we can touch to him, you would find out that your situation is not nearly as bad as you think. Because he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God at the right hand of the throne. And Jesus does one thing that nobody else can do on a consistent basis, regardless of what the world says, regardless of what politics say, regardless of what different people say. Jesus does one thing better than anybody else. He brings hope. It's like, wait, this could be different. And in verse 29, she touches Jesus and immediately her bleeding stops, right? The Bible says, look at it, immediately her bleeding stopped. She felt it in her body. She was freed from her suffering. You know, people will say, well, I mean, how do you know if you're healed? I got a message for you. When you touch the Lord and power comes from the Lord into your life, you know. She knew. Not only did she know, Jesus knew. And Jesus was like, okay, who touched me? Who touched me? Power went out for me. Right? And then the disciples are, okay. Like there's like 1,000 people right next to you. How are we supposed to? Now, why did Jesus do all that? Watch this. This is just one of those absolute mind blowers. The first thing that happens to her is her issue of blood ceases to exist because she touches Jesus. We would call that a physical healing. She was physically healed. She had an issue of blood, and that's a problem, and she couldn't do anything to help it. But when she was able to touch Jesus, bam, the physical healing happened. But then Jesus does this such weird thing because he's so cool that it just fits the whole thing. He says, who touched me? And they're all like going, okay, well, you know, take a look around, dude. There's a lot of people here. And he's like, who touched me? And then the woman said, it was me, right? Jesus not only physically healed her, watch this, he socially healed her because a woman who had an issue of blood was not allowed to have the same level of public contact as everybody else. So he heals her physically and then calls her up in front of everybody and goes, yeah, you're well now, huh? It's just think about the moment. And instead of saying anything negative, because God's not like that, he's like, oh, your faith has healed you. Okay, your faith and confidence in you touching me made the difference. You're physically healed. And let everybody who's around you know you are no longer to be untouched because you touched me. Now you're socially healed. And then, wait just a second. And then, as she's trembling in fear and told him the whole truth, Jesus says, daughter, your faith is healed. Go in peace. And be freed from your suffering, that part of it, that go in peace part, that's the psychological healing. She not only does she get healed physically, which is just like, okay, nobody does that, okay? But then Jesus puts her in the middle of the public and says, yeah, you're healed. And then he says this for a psychological element, go in peace. Here's what Jesus was saying, the way we would get it. It's all good. It's all good. You're all good. Everybody can love you. You can love everybody. Just go forward. It's good. And only Jesus Christ can take that which is physically lame, that which is socially unacceptable, and that which is psychologically devastated, and in one moment change it and heal it. This woman went from an outcast to acceptance because of Jesus Christ. And you want to know why? You know, people look at the church and they're like, well, they're all a bunch of judgy, kind of like whatever the case may be. But one of the reasons why is because we don't operate like that the way that Jesus, I mean, look at what Jesus did. If you prayed for somebody, they got healed and they were socially able to adapt again, and then they were psychologically healed, that would make an impact on the community. That's what Jesus did. And thousands of people said, yes, Lord, that's the diff. Look at that. I mean, I've been socially outcast, 200 times, maybe something, somewhere around that line. I mean, I was totally disliked by all the Baptists, then totally disliked by all the Pentecostals, then totally disliked by the Jewish people. Just start going down the list. And it's like, yeah, but Jesus likes me. It's like, yeah, my best friend, he's my bud. Kind of like that attitude. Not only can you find physical healing in the Lord, you can find social healing and you can find psychological healing. I'm not saying to anybody anywhere, you know, don't pursue doctors. I'm not one of those people that think that's the way you do it. If the Lord heals you, you'll know. And in fact, you only go to the doctor to get verification, you know, more than anything else. And Jesus, by the way, verified his miracles. Go show yourself to the priest. And he will swear you off as healed. That's what he said to other people. My point is this. If you get touched by the Lord and you touch the Lord and the Lord touches you back, you know. It changes your life forever. This woman's life was changed. Think she had something to share? Think she had a testimony? Before, she couldn't talk to people. Now she's probably popular. It's like, that was fast. But that's God. And your situation, as ridiculous as it can be and as terrible as it can be and as non-redemptive as you think it is not beyond the Lord. Nothing ever is. God can freeze time. I'm pretty sure he can do all the other stuff. Get what I'm going with that? All right, on the trivia question, so I asked it on purpose. The Ark of Noah was built. It was 30 cubits high, 50 cubits wide, and 300 cubits long, or 450 feet. That's what I said. A little trickery. Not a lot. All right. I love you guys. Okay, here we go. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interest. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
I did what most Christian men would do when they make a mistake. It's their fault. There's nothing but humiliation on your face, and you're trying to recover in the moment. And you know what I did? I blamed it on every possible unseen force except for myself.
You have chosen wisely.
So guess who knocked that crystal light on that white carpet? It was Satan, by golly. Well, it was at that moment. Because it certainly wasn't my fault. I didn't knock the crystal light all over. It was my glass. I did pour it. I did bring it to the table. And somehow, fell on the carpet and spread everywhere. And by golly, I wasn't going to take the blame for it because that would be taking personal responsibility. Well, I'm not taking personal responsibility. After all, that $500 deposit we just had that we were hoping to get back when we move out is already down to $200. And it was dropping by the dollar as the stuff was spreading.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Just to let you know, we're going to do our trivia at the end of the segment. Just to let you know, just kind of preparing you so you have mental time to get yourself ready. That last trivia question was kind of tough. I will confess to that. But don't forget, with last day of the month, 30th, don't forget, our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, so last day of the week. So guess what? Last day of the month. So last day of the month. Okay, so wait, it's the last day of the month. So don't forget. Okay, that's my nice way of saying all that stuff. All right, let's play history, and then I'll take care of the rest of it. History.
Let's go living in the past. Let's go living in the past.
Okay, so a couple things to tell you about history. Nothing super duper 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 fantastic, but some interesting things. Today is National Mulled Cider Day. I'm not fully aware of all of that, but you know, I'm going to go with okie dokie. It's Wrigley Chewing Gum Day. I find that to be, I don't know. Let me think about that. Also, it is Ask a Stupid Question Day. Now, for me, I feel this is for me every day. And in fact, when my wife and I were done watching the few minutes of the debate that we watched, I thought, you know, these guys really need to get a handle on the Mad Magazine snappy answers to stupid questions kind of thing, because at least it would have been entertaining. For those that do not know, on this day in 1935, Hoover Dam, which still powers much of Las Vegas, was dedicated. 1947, the World Series was on television for the first time. And then I thought this was worthwhile, and there's no point in telling me it's not worthwhile. I think these are the important things in life. In 1960, on this day, the Flintstones, come on now, the Flintstones, yabba-dabba-doo, you know, the Flintstones, first animated series on a prime-time schedule. That's the first time it happened. It wasn't until The Simpsons came along that it was even touched by being close to. And that was broadcast in black and white as ABC didn't quite do color yet, and then they changed it over. And then I just remember having my kids and having that one movie, The Jetsons Meet the Flintstones. Or was it The Flintstones Meet the Jetsons? I can't remember. It's one of those, okay? It's one of those kind of things. All right, let's go back into this teaching. We'll do the trivia at the end. I think this is really important material for us to kind of grasp, because what we're getting is this snapshot of Jesus. And there's a lot of stuff that we do, a lot of stuff that we say, but at no point should anybody ever lose what's going on here. And when we get into our Philippians teach tomorrow, you're going to see how very specific Christology, the study of Christ, fits into play on Jesus Christ being honored above all, and understanding how that this snapshot of Jesus plays into or leads us into the understanding of the superiority of Christ. Nobody else was fully God and fully man, period. And so nobody else can represent God to man or man to God. So in this situation, we get to see that Jairus, he has a 12-year-old daughter. She's dying. Not good news. This woman who's got this bleeding issue of blood, she comes up to Jesus, touches him without saying anything. Jesus has restoration and healing for her in physical, social, and psychological aspects, which is just wonderful if you think about how Jesus cares about the whole person. Doesn't care about a part of a person, cares about every inch of you. If you're doing well physically, but you're not doing well psychologically, Jesus cares about that. If you're doing well psychologically and not doing well physically, Jesus cares about that. If you can't have contact with people and you feel like you're completely isolated, Jesus cares about that. In fact, he mentions multiple times how he's with us always, and I was thinking about this today when I was praying, and I appreciate it so much, how Jesus came into this situation after the resurrection, and he had to tell his disciples, peace, peace, peace. These are guys that saw miracles, that saw powerful things, and he yet still had to speak to them to calm them down. Don't be afraid, Jesus had to tell them. So I guess that's kind of built into us, especially because of sin. So the situation for the woman turned out to be fine. But remember, he's there with Jairus, and Jairus' daughter is dying. Verse 35, while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, and said, "Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." This is a situation for Jairus that went from worse to the worst. All right, you know how we said it can go from bad to worse? We were talking about that. Well, it can go from bad to worse to the worst. And this is the worst. The guy's daughter died.
Oh, she wasn't just really sick.
She died dead. And they even said to her, "What? There's no point in talking to this guy anymore. This is over. Situation done." And that's how a lot of us process. Situation done. But then Jesus does what Jesus does, because he's so amazing. He overheard what they said to him. They didn't say it to Jesus. They said it to the guy. They said it to Jairus. Right? And they said to him, "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe." So there are three things that you can't miss this. Number one, Jesus is telling the guy whose daughter just died, ignore them. It's like, can you imagine? Okay. The doctor just pronounced her dead. Yeah, ignore that guy. What? He's the doctor. Ignore that guy. That's just like the blind man who are like, people are telling him, "Be quiet, stop it, stop it," and he shouts out all the more. It's at some point you just got to ignore any external noise that hasn't been sanctioned by God and just go, "Yeah, I'm not paying attention to that." And this is the thing, and you don't get mad at me. I can't undo scripture. Right? You can't unwrite it. You think, in 5 weeks, the country of this, 6 weeks, the country of this, we'll have an election. In 8 weeks, 12 weeks, 15 weeks, you know, God knows the end from the beginning. There's nothing that's coming that God's like going, "Oh, I didn't see that coming." There's nothing new that's happening in God's economy that's going to catch God by surprise. Sometimes you just got to go, okay, calm down. And then he says this, don't be afraid. Why should you not be afraid? Because what fear does is immobilizes a person, stops them from moving forward, and it also eats away at faith. Fear has this way. It's kind of like if you think of faith as, chocolate ice cream that has peanut butter in it, okay? That's faith, okay? Fear is like somebody drilling a hole underneath and then taking a little spoon and then pulling some of that faith down, a little scoop by scoop by scoop by scoop. And you don't want your faith reduced because God requires faith to us to engage with him in. That's his requirement. That's the vehicle by which he has chosen to engage with humanity. You don't think God could have said, it's me, you're going to believe, or I'm going to turn you into a fish. I mean, you don't think God could have done that? But he chose the vehicle of faith because that's what he wanted from those that would come to him. A confidence, an assurance in the goodness of God. So Jesus, the first thing he says, ignore it. Don't be afraid of it. And then he does this one radically crazy, nutsy cuckoo line. Just believe. And we use that in movies and in books and in fairy tales and all that stuff. We're not talking about any of that stuff. This is believing and looking at a situation just like Abraham did, just like we talked yesterday, how Abraham looked at the circumstance, didn't deny he was old, didn't deny he was past childbearing, and said, I'm just going to believe God anyway. That attitude of just believe, it's taking a stand in the framework of your faith that says, I'm not moving. Here I am. Call me Bulldog. I'm right here. I'm not going nowhere. My faith is solid. And this is upon hearing that, I would argue with you, the worst possible news that this guy could have heard. Your daughter's dead. This whole pursuit's void. And Jesus is like, ignore that. Don't be afraid and just believe. Let's see where that takes us. Isn't that? It's just like, wow. I don't know. I'm just coming out of my skin here. I just think it's unbelievable. It's incredible because this kind of faith alters not just this guy's life. Watch this. Altered your life too because it's in the Gospels. Ah! It's like, oh! This guy's moment where he said yes impacted you. And impacts you right now. All right, we got to finish with our trivia question, so I didn't do that, so I want to do that. Okay, so how many times did the boy, I hope I didn't do this one. No, I did do this one. How many times did the boy who Elijah raised from the dead, how many times did he sneeze? It's like people are like going, what does that got to do with any of this? Nothing. It's a trivia question. That's why it's trivia. So if you know the answer, you can call in, but you're going to have to wait for 3 minutes because we can't do that. Or you can text in. So you either call in 972-445-0770 or text in 214-210-8483. Can't get mad at me. I'm just excited about the Word of God, and I hope you are too. I hope it's a blessing for you. This story is just so rich with the grace and the mercy and the love of Jesus Christ. Just let that bask over you. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com or call 903-484-6637. That's 903 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
What is the David Spoon experience?
Let me tell you what I'm torn between the two. I'm twixt between the torn two. You want to know why? I've got the biggest breaking story ever.
No,
to
you
be,
need to do that first. Yeah, I just can't wait.
More than my whole thing about the four-way stop sign.
Yep.
You want me to do the number one story?
That's
ladies
right.
and gentlemen, you better get ready. Here's my advice. I don't give this advice very often, and I don't give it uncheckfully. What's uncheckfully? I don't know. Here's the biggest story you have ever heard on the David Spoon Experience. If you have children who are listening, if you are not in a car, it's time to cover their ears or send them into another room. That's how chilling this is. Ladies and gentlemen, I have it off the press literally within the last 2.5 hours. Actually, it's less than 2.5 hours ago. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. I have it right in my hands. Get ready. Do not get nauseous when you hear this. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a fact that as of today, the Navy, the United States Navy, officially has made its proclamation. Ready? Are you ready? Are you listening? This is the most important thing ever. You ready? That Captain Crunch is a fraud. Ladies and gentlemen, the United States Navy has declared that Captain Crunch...
I do not buy it.
No, listen to this. Here's why. Let me tell you why. Captain Crunch has 3 stripes on his cuffs, and that signifies a commander and not a captain. So the United States Navy has made it absolutely known today, Captain Crunch, nay... He nay a captain. Nay. Now, it is true.
Rename the cereal?
No.
Commander Crunch?
Yes, Commander Crunch. That's the new. That's why I told you, don't let your kids hear this. It is possible that that uniform could represent either German or Portuguese Navy. They're not sure because all of those uniforms were lost with their great navies.
Sometimes
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Okay, fact of the matter is,
I really like that Captain Crunch thing. It's just so funny. I'm sorry. Nay. I say nay, Captain. Oh, boy, people sometimes losing it. Anyhow, I think we have somebody on the phone for trivia. Hang on one sec.
This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is John.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. And you?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm actually having a wonderful day. And, you know, every once in a while you get some extra time in with the Lord and you just think, man, I can't wait to hear that trumpet. I just can't wait.
Yeah.
I just can't wait.
What's going on? Huh? Yep. You want to know the answer to that,
I do. And so this is a good one. How many times did the boy who Elisha raised from the dead, how many times did he sneeze?
7.
That is correct, sir. You are right. A little unknown fact from a lot of people that they might not be aware of is that actually so after Elisha stretched himself out, the child sneezed 7 times, and then the child opened his eyes, which means that he sneezed those 7 times without his eyes open, which is like, wow, that's bizarre. It's like, how do you do that?
I just thought about it that way.
Yeah, it's like, how would you do, I mean, how do you, I mean... My eyes go in the back of my head when I sneeze. I just don't know how that happened.
Didn't he lie prostrate across
him? Yes, correct. That is exactly what he did.
I thought, okay, if he was sneezing, was he sneezing in Elijah's face?
That's an excellent question. I do not have that answer, but you have
we'll
to
have
sit
to
there
wait
and wonder.
To find that one out, huh?
Yeah, I mean, the prophets went through a lot, although it could be a tough one. Excellent job, my friend. Excellent answer. Thank you.
Good to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you as well.
All right.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Right. We roll. That's a great question that he sneezed in his face. The prophets went through so much, you know. But, you know, I think just that whole process is just amazing. All right, let's finish this off. So we're talking about, did we cover everything? Oh, we didn't cover everything. We didn't do the website, which I only have one more day so we can make all our payments. So don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Nice. Right, so that's your opportunity. If you want to give, we got, how many hours we got? We got like 9 hours. It's not, we got 9 hours. If you do it tomorrow, it's not going to change anything. Might change my psychological position, but it's not going to change anything else. All right, so we've been talking about the woman who had the issue of blood and how the Lord, oh, what graciousness Jesus showed, that he not only healed her physically, but also socially and psychologically. In the meantime, this all happened during Jairus, the priest, who was kind of a high-ranking person, that when he came and he asked, you know, he was a synagogue leader, so he's most likely a priest, but he came and asked Jesus to help, and Jesus is helping. You know, people don't realize that verse 24 in Mark 5, it says Jesus went with him. Sometimes Jesus went there. Sometimes Jesus just spoke the word. Sometimes Jesus went there. It happens in all different ways. I did read this ridiculous thing from this one person who said, you know, Jesus, you know, healed, you know, every single person in the entire community and didn't charge anybody any money. They were trying to make a political argument. And the fact of the matter is he only healed one guy at the pool of Bethsaida, and that was actually a hospital. It's like, what do you guys read this stuff? So this is where you pull back from those kind of things and you go, can we just keep it on track with the truth? It's just easier if you just tell the truth and keep it the way it is and not try and make it fit some kind of narrative. Here's this narrative issued by Scripture itself. Jesus tells Jairus, don't ignore what these people are saying. Don't be afraid. Take a stand. Now, I'm going to read verse 37. You got to catch what Jesus does. Amazing. He did not let anyone follow him in except for Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw the commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why is all this commotion? Why all this wailing? The child's not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. And he put them all out and took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said, Talitha kaum, Talitha kaum. And that means, little girl, I say unto you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. Remember the woman of the issue of the blood was 12 years of the issue of the blood. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this, and he told them to give her something to eat. Jesus was still ministering to this little girl, even though she was physically raised from the dead. He wanted to make sure she was taken care of. That's how Jesus is, okay? But what I want you to get is Jesus and the disciples and the parents, so they're all there, right? Because you got the parents there as well, right? And everybody's going, she's dead, she's dead, she's dead. And they're making fun of Jesus. What did Jesus do? Kicked him out. You know, for everybody that thinks that everything Jesus did was pull a flower out of his sleeve like a magician and just smiled and gave everybody an air high five, that's not how it went. Okay? They laughed at Jesus, and he put them all out. He took the child's father and mother and disciples with him. What did he do? He cleared the air. It's like, you know what? That's enough. And you know what? You and I need to do that same thing. Sometimes, you know what? That's enough. That's enough of this rubbish in the air. That's enough of this yucky stuff that's going on. Jesus cleared the air. They faced the fact that she was dead and then made a bold confession and then just get up. And the expression of faith and the results of that expression of faith and Jairus responding to ignoring what they had to say, not being afraid, having just a little bit of faith, the results were astonishment that God's workings were so clearly manifest. But I will say this, and I don't have any problem saying this, sometimes you got to just change the atmosphere. And you go, oh, that's not biblical. Jesus kicked them out because they were all naysayers. That's not a promotion of positive thinking and positive saying. It is a promotion of you're either going to have faith or if you're going to have fear, go over in the other room. Get out. Because we need people to have faith. So he clears the air. He makes this bold proclamation. She gets up, and watch this. This is something that I'm telling you. I'm getting this as I'm telling to you. How Jesus not just raised her from the dead, but then he's ministering to her afterwards. It's not over. The miracle's done. Jesus has gone off on the white horse and is never coming back. He's having her taken care of after she's raised from the dead. He keeps going. Because Jesus cares about how we're doing. It's not a one and done. That's the old evangelist thing. You blow into town, you blow in, you blow up, you blow out. That's not how Jesus did it. He stuck around. He helped. And the parents and the disciples, can you imagine the amazement? I think the disciples had a little bit more prep, right? Hanging out with Jesus a little, right? But could you imagine Jairus and his wife going, okay, what just happened? Your life changed. That's what just happened. It'll never be the same. You'll never be able to deny that Jesus Christ completely rearranged your entire universe. There's some of you out there, you need him to do that. You need to change your atmosphere. You need to ignore what other people are saying. You need to stand firm in your faith. You need to stop being afraid, stop being immobilized, and you need to clear the air and trust and believe God for an incredible miracle that will change life. And you people are like, oh, but that's like, you know, it's like your positivity. Yeah, I'm positively positive that if you actually have genuine faith the size of a mustard seed, where it's pure and it's real and it's genuine, miracles happen. Yep, I'm absolutely convinced. And I'll start that with people saying yes to Jesus, which is one of the great miracles of all time, since people are coming from death to life by confession and getting saved. So yeah, I go with that. I'll take that all day long. It's like, sure. But that's the kind of God we serve. And I think anybody who's listening, anybody who knows what we've done through this show, and anybody who's walked in the Lord for more than an hour knows God does miracles all the time. It's just, how do we label what God is doing? I don't care. Call it a miracle. Call it amazing. Call it anything you want. Just make sure that you do what Jesus said. Well, that's what you want. And then you see the results. They're phenomenal, aren't they? Life-changing. All right. Let me give special props to T. She's been helping me. I had to use this different headset, so we didn't know how that was going. So she did a really good job keeping me stable. Tomorrow, I'm warning you. Warning, warning, ding, ding, ding. Christology, oh, deep, oh. If you don't like theology, don't listen. That's my encouragement. Okay. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break. Now we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Just as I am, you reach down and see me.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.